cutting back, getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, it's been a while, but it's been a while since the Chiefs played, too. And finally, Thursday night, there was NFL football back. The Chiefs hosting the Texans. You know, I mean, it's maybe the next evolution of the Brady Manning series with Patrick Mahomes against Deshaun Watson. And obviously the Chiefs, they went out and took care of business like you'd expect them to do. Emotions were high. Convincing win, you know, for the Chiefs. I mean, they're up 31-7 at one point. What did you make of the way the Chiefs played, especially with no preseason, and the way really they dominated after that first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing overall is I was just happy to actually see the Chiefs and football in general, because there was a point in time where I didn't know if I was gonna. If I was going to see it or not. So the fact that we were able to see football in my mind, it was fantastic, and I'm happy about that. So, I mean, anything else that happened from there was just icing on the cake overall, because, I mean, with the way things have gone in the world and all that type of stuff, I'm just happy to actually be able to witness football, analyze football, talk about football. So that was a win for me.
Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, the never draft a running back in the first round crowd was strong on Twitter, even though picking number 32, it's essentially a second-round pick anyway, right? It's not like it's a top 10 pick that the Chiefs spent on a running back. But early returns, pretty positive. I mean, 138 yards, the touchdown. Maybe a little more work to do at the goal line. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for me, was one of the major bright spots. I mean, I think we all knew, at least those of us who know how Andy likes to utilize running backs and know what a master he is at being able to scheme guys into space. And if you watch Edwards-Helaire's tape at LSU, he was almost untouchable when he got the ball in space. But what did you make? I thought he'd be a little more involved in the passing game than he ended up being. But overall, I mean, have to be impressed with what he was able to do as a rookie, especially with no preseason games in that opener.
Yeah, I mean, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he's the drum that I've been, you know, beating on for quite some time, that the Chiefs need to find a running back that could help them maintain the rhythm that they needed to as an offense, to where maybe they're having an off night in passing, or they're having an off night here or there, or an off series, and they need somebody to help them reset and stabilize what they're trying to do and to get into that rhythm. And he did that multiple times in Thursday night's football game, and I think that's something that Chiefs fans and I personally have missed, and you kind of got a reminder of that again. So, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you could tell he was nervous in the beginning there, especially in some of those first few series. You could tell he was just getting used to the speed, not having those preseason games. It took him about a quarter and a half, but then he started to feel comfortable in it. When they had six in the box, he destroyed it most times. In terms of the goal line, I think that's just going to take some time, because I think he's getting used to the speed of seeing other people, how fast they are, how they feel, and being able to read the lanes. And it's just, those are things that are just going to come with reps. I mean, who he was yesterday hadn't even come close to touching the surface of who he's going to be, obviously, at the end of the year or in years to come. So, I mean, I'm personally not upset with what I saw last night. It was phenomenal. He's everything I thought he'd be. And like you talked about the passing game, I mean, he's a dynamic receiver. And linebackers are not going to be able to match up with against them on a regular basis. So some good teams like the Ravens coming up, they're going to have to put a safety on them. They're going to have to figure something else out. So it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens overall with them.
You know, you mentioned it a little bit, but I thought what was really impressive, we're so used to this quick strike Chiefs offense. We're used to seeing Patrick Mahomes push the ball down the field. You know, we're used to 5-6 play scoring drives. I mean, they were putting together really, really methodical drives, you know, 16-play touchdown drives. And look, some of that I think is Kelechi Osemele, the new left guard. I think he brings, you know, a little bit of that road grader mentality. And now you have Andrew Wiley back at what I think is probably his best position, which is right guard. He was really good there 2 years ago. You know, was the team's rookie of the year, the Mackley Hill Award winner, playing at right guard a couple years ago. And I think you're a little bit better between the tackles in terms of that run game. And look, this was a different style in some ways than I expected to see from the Chiefs, but the fact that they can now play that style, that, that Edwards-Helaire gives them the option of grinding out those long drives, I think that speaks volumes. It's actually making me question. I think you and I both kind of picked the Chiefs' first loss of the season maybe to be at Baltimore on Monday night, and part of that is that the Ravens have had that ability to control the clock, control the game, grind out those wins, whereas the Chiefs have struggled in those five-minute situations when they're trying to end games late because they haven't been able to be methodical and be overpowering in the run game. I liked what I saw from that standpoint in terms of the different options Andy now has. If you're going to play your safeties deep like Houston chose to, and then he'll pick you apart with Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins underneath in the run game. If you're going to come up and try to take Kelce in the run game away, look out for Tyreek Hill. I just think that he makes the options this team have so much greater.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right in the fact that overall there's so many avenues that they're going to be able to beat and adjust the teams. And there was times last year where they weren't going to be able to adjust to certain things. They just kind of had to will their way through it. And this time around, like you said, if they want to run 30 times like they did yesterday, they can do that. That's not a problem for them. If they want to run some play action pass, and you know, on Thursday, the Texans, they played a bunch of cover too. They wanted to take away the deep balls, and they did that. But they in turn they gave up those 5 to 10 yard paper cuts and the run underneath. And they're like, hey, if you want that, and the Chiefs were like, okay, we'll take it, and we're up by 31 now. So thank you. So I mean, it's gonna. I'm very curious to see. I feel like now the barometer is going to be the Ravens, and that's going to tell us where this football team's at. And then they get a couple weeks to get to that point, because the Texans look like a lost football team right now. That's got new coordinators, and they're a team that looks like if they play like they did yesterday, they look like a team that's going to miss the playoffs. While the Chiefs, on the other hand, look like a team that's trying to go for another Super Bowl and played in probably in between that 2 to week 3 preseason game, to where they weren't flawless by any means, but they had a ton available to them and a ton to work with.
Yeah. I mean, look, Andy Reid's teams have not always been the most disciplined. We've talked about penalties being an issue at times the last, you know, we're really throughout his time here, but that was a disciplined team. I think you've really got to commend the job the coaching staff did. And look, I think a lot of it comes down to continuity, and I think that was an intentional decision by Brett Veach and Andy Reid to kind of keep the band together, given everything that was going on this offseason. But I think you saw the benefit of that, because they only had, the one penalty for 5 yards. You know, it didn't look like they were the lack of preseason games was as big a detriment for the Chiefs as it was for teams like Houston, who's got a new defensive coordinator, who's having to adjust to not having DeAndre Hopkins in the offense anymore, and had a lot more things that they really needed to work out in the preseason and didn't get that opportunity to do. So great start to the Chiefs season. I mean, however, not a perfect start. So how about we take a quick break, and when we come back, we will discuss some of the ways the Chiefs can still get better as they look to run it back here on 4th and 1.
Moment that feels like it happened ages ago, right? Months later, times are testing the core of who we are. Now more than ever, you deserve the whole story without the hype. And those moments that remind you that good is stronger than ever. Kansas City, this is our time. This is your team. 31 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs as always. And Nick, great to be talking to you again. Look, for those who don't know, I haven't actually been in the same room with Nick since like March. And Nick has gone through some changes at work. I've had my children at home. I also had 400 to 500 Yellow Jackets who joined me in my office last week. So it's been a crazy time for all of us. And I'm glad to be.
Did the Yellow Jackets wear a mask? when they were in your house?
They did not, which was actually good for me, because then when the exterminator came, they had no chance. So I did get to practice my drywall skills, though, so that was nice.
Did you social distance properly from the Yellow Jackets?
Unfortunately, I did. I did not get stung, I was very lucky in that regard. But it was not a fun situation. I can tell you that. I can assure you that.
It all paid off. See, the practice of doing these things paid
right.
off.
You learned to properly
social distance from the Yellow Jackets.
Well, I was also lucky because it was at night and they went for the light above my head. So they were less interested in me. Apparently, I don't taste good, the Yellow Jackets. So, we talked about the good from the Chiefs here. One thing I do want to – look, tackling was a bit of an issue for the linebackers. I mean, if the Chiefs had a weakness last year, I think it was the linebackers. I still think that Willie Gay, with his speed, has a role to play as he gets his feet wet and develops, and as Steve Spagnuolo finds out what he can do and what role he's ready to accept. But let's start there with the defense. What did you see from this defense that you liked, and what maybe gives you room for concern moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say looking at the defense, the number one thing that kind of stood out to me is they had some struggles early on in the run, but I expected that to happen because, I mean, they haven't technically played a football game since February, so you haven't had that live action. I mean, people say, well, they've practiced for a month or so. It's completely different. Like, just the way things are moving, the way things fly around. Yes, you played the Chiefs offense and did multiple things and did multiple times, but the difference is the opponent you're going against adjusts their game, adjusts their athletic ability. So you may be used to covering Tyreek Hill that one week, and hey, guess what? They're for 3 weeks at a time, and then what? Guess what? Will Fuller is completely different than that. He's got a completely different style of how he releases off the line, or when he may make his cut at 7 versus Tyreek making it at 5, and you're just kind of – you get used to that, and then you kind of have to readjust and learn from that. So then, yeah, you figured you'd see those hiccups from them. And then also, linebacker-wise, I was disappointed at how much they crashed in the run to give up those open lanes and play-action pass. That was that's something that they're going to have to get back to the drawing board and work on pretty quickly overall. But, I mean, I would say run defense, it looked a little bit like it did early on last year. Tackling struggled early, but I expected that with them not having preseason games and not being able to have that routine practice. So, I mean, those were kind of my bigger takeaways, but they improved as the game went on. So, sky's the limit.
Well, and look, Chris Jones showed up and showed out. And that was, one of the things I wrote about on KSHB.com this week, where you can find plenty of content from Nick and I. Nick always has his game plans, and we had some. I had some articles this week about players that were under pressure, players that I thought need to step up, and one of them was Chris Jones. Because you always wonder when a guy gets paid, is he going to bring that same hunger to the field, or is he going to be a little satisfied, feel like he's made it? And I thought Chris Jones played with that. But if anything, I thought Chris Jones, looked like a man who was trying to prove he was worth that contract. But you also saw Legarius Sneed. I thought he played fantastic stepping in for Bashaud Breeland, had the interception. But even before that, he was showing some good cover skills, the converted safety at Louisiana Tech. Mike Dana made a play or two, which is good because they're going to need some help along that defensive line. It looks like a couple of guys went out with injuries. But I'm concerned about cornerback because Rashad Fenton and Antonio Hamilton, had some hiccups. And if Charvarius Ward misses any time with his broken hand now, and Bashaud Breeland still out with those 3 games for suspension, they're getting a little thin there in the passing game. So that's one area of concern is depth, especially in the secondary right now, and it remains to be seen, what they're going to do with that situation. I mean, they've got some guys. I think they got 3 corners on the practice squad, but the injuries were a concern. They were already lacking depth in the interior defensive line, and it looks like Colin Saunders, that elbow injury did not look good. So that could be a big loss there if he's unable to go, and they'll get Mike Pinnell back at some point too. But again, he's out the next three games, and they've got some tough games on the schedule coming up.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they'll get Mike Pinnell back after, I believe they get him back to Ravens game, and then Breland will be week five. They'll probably get him back. So, yeah, I mean, a reinforcement will be on the way in a week if you can struggle through the Chargers game. So that's not a terrible concern, but, I mean, you know, you want to see everybody stay healthy. And like you said, Snead did a phenomenal job for being a rookie and having to adjust on the fly against a wide receiving corps that's that fast. I mean, he held his own, and he looked like a normal football game for him. So that's insanely encouraging to see for the most part with him. So, yeah, I mean, Wharton, I thought I was impressed with what Wharton did along the line. And then, like you said, with Chris Jones, I mean, look, Chris Jones is a guy that he's going to put something out there, and he's going to state publicly, like he said, he wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. And he just uses stuff like that as motivation to try to reach that. So, I mean, he took advantage of it yesterday and made some plays in prime time, and that was good to see. And I'm impressed with his little when he pulled the defender and did the swim over him, where he pushed, pulled, and swam over him. I mean, and the quickness he did that with, I mean, you know, yeah, he's not satisfied, and that's good to see, especially with what they paid for him. So, I mean, overall combined, defensively, I'm with the cornerback position, with what Dave Merritt and Sam Madison did last year, I have a ton of trust in them developing guys throughout the season. So that's something I'm okay watching them allow those guys to develop throughout the year. Linebacker-wise is kind of where I'm just kind of curious to see where that heads overall.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously Reggie Ragland's not there, but I mean the big addition to that group was Willie Gay Jr. So I think it's just a matter of when is he ready to step in and you know, you showcase that athleticism on the field. And but look, I will say this: Dorian O'Daniel, you know, had that sack, you know, made some plays. He's a guy we didn't see on the field last year. Maybe he's a guy who could step up and help a little bit with that linebacking core. One other thing I wanted to touch on real quick. I know I was one of the people that really thought Mecole Hardman Jr. was in line to take a big step forward this year. You know, played less than 30% of the snaps, was really a non-factor last night. Is that a reflection on where McColl's still at in his development as a player? Or do you think that better days are ahead for Hardman this season?
You know, I mean, I hope they are. I mean, I know my Twitter mentions had a lot of questions about his snaps being at 20 and what why he wasn't out there for a lot of snaps on the field or more than Demarcus Robinson. But, I mean, part of the reason Demarcus Robinson was brought back is because of his knowledge of the offense, his ability to run block. And with them having the pandemic, the chief strategy worked out, like we talked about earlier, to where you have the continuity overall in this football team, and you're just – the corners is kind of really where you're focusing, and part linebacker where you're having to bring some guys along. So with that overall, I mean, could you imagine right now if Eric Bieniemy was a head football coach, his first time ever a head football coach in a pandemic? I mean, it's a struggle enough whenever you're trying to start from scratch in general. What Ron Rivera is having to do with Washington right now, I mean, he's at least an experienced coach, but even he's having to build a culture through Skype and Zoom meetings. So, I mean, it's just not going to be the same. So, I'm glad Eric Bieniemy's here, but I think that illustrates a bigger point overall to why Robinson's back here, why Sammy Watkins is back here. I think McColl's still got to figure out a way to where he can get off press coverage and man coverage to where they don't have to have a bunch formation or certain alignments to scheme him open to give him those free releases to run his routes. So I think that's something that, like, you're really going to have to focus on this year if you're him, and the coaches are probably going to work with him to try to see if he can get to that point so that you don't have to bring in another receiver to compete, that he can be what you invested in and what you want him to become. So I'm curious to see that throughout the year and what type of maturation he's going to have.
Right. Important to note, he's still really in his fourth year ever playing wide receiver, 2 years at Georgia, yeah, and then last year. So way too early to give up on him. I mean, it's easy to forget, had he had a couple more catches last year, he would have led the NFL in average yards per reception. So he's obviously an explosive guy, and he's still going to have value on special teams. I was hoping to see a little bit more. I think a lot of fans were too. And we'll see whether he can get there over the course of the season. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for the C block here on 4th and 1.
Everywhere you look, you see a push for change.
You've got a team telling your stories.
First, we listen. It's what you deserve. Count on us for the stories that hit home.
Thank you for joining us as we rise to the challenge and rebound together.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, it's the part of the podcast where we kind of put our final thoughts on the week. And you know, you mentioned Eric Bieniemy in the last segment, and I wanted to touch on that real quick because, you know, you're right. Like, if you're Matt Rhule in Carolina and you're trying to take over, you know, making that jump from never having been an NFL head coach into that seat, and especially when you look at like Carolina's situation, Cam Newton's gone. You know, there's a lot of questions all over the place. Matt Rhule has an insanely difficult season ahead, in my opinion. And look, he did a great job at Temple. He did a great job at Baylor. This is a different level. And Carolina, they're just going to struggle. I mean, they're absolutely going to struggle this year. Chiefs fans will get to see them firsthand, I think, in October. You know, when they come to visit Arrowhead Stadium. And that's going to be a team that's probably going to be in line for a top three pick, almost certainly. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise that for Eric Bieniemy that he did get a job this year of all years, because that would have really stunk if he had been hired like March 5th as a head coach. And then like every, you know, every plan he had would have been like, immediately ruined. So maybe it was a good for Eric Bieniemy, and obviously it's good that the Chiefs have him one more year. You gotta love, in my opinion, like what you saw from this offense. This offense, I don't think they're gonna be as explosive as they have been the last couple years necessarily. I mean, after seeing how they played this week, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they average far fewer points per game and yards per game, but are still a better offense, because the one area where the Chiefs could really hung their offense out to dry last year, or their defense out to dry, was some of those games where they let the other team have the ball for 40 minutes. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to have those lopsided time of possession games this year with the ability to run the ball. I think that's huge for this team.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. I think, like you said, I think for the most part, it's going to be one of those occurrences this year. It's going to be the Chiefs are going to, I think the Chiefs are going to be a better overall football team. I think they're going to find a new way to win. And I think at times Ravens game, they may have to go back to that 2018 generational offense and figure out a way to get to that point. And I think there's certain games where they're going to have to go to that level, but it's just been funny watching Patrick's maturation and how they've built this offense and how they've adjusted to it, to where it goes from having to score points relentlessly like you're in a Big 12 football game to trying to find a better balance last year between defense and offense. And then this year you're finding even more balance. And I'm curious to see how the NFL is responding to what these guys want to do, because the Texans ran a ton of press man last year against the Chiefs in both of their games, and they ran a lot of man coverage. And then they ran a lot of twists and stunts and blitzes to try to do that. And then again, in the game Thursday night, they changed it up and they copied a lot of the 49ers game plan, where they didn't want to get beat deep and they kept too deep in a lot of parts, especially after Patrick threw over the top that one time. They really went to two man deep at that point. And then they left the six in the box for Clyde to be able to destroy him and wreck him how he saw fit. And it's going to be intriguing to watch how teams try to evolve and how the Chiefs adjust to those things. And then also the other thing I'll say for my final thought is, like, each week right now, just having football, I'm appreciative of that. I'm appreciative of that moment to where we get to watch that, to where we get to analyze that, because you don't know what's going to come next week with the way things are going right now and what's going to shake out. So, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I appreciate every week out there. Appreciate every opportunity to be able to watch a football game or to talk to people about it, because, I mean, there's a lot of craziness in the world right now to where you just you don't know what's going to happen next.
I did want to touch on, there's a lot of controversy about the, you know, booing and the unity. And look, there was some booing. I thought I heard a lot more Chiefs. I'm not sure that Chiefs fans deserve the hate they're getting here. You know, I thought that the gesture was was special because, you know, a lot of times before games, you know, you're in that hatred mode. Like, you want to go knock the other guy's head off, right? And so I thought it was a really cool gesture for Mahomes and Watson to come together and lock arms at midfield and show that unity. I just wanted to go on record saying I didn't have a problem with it. And if somebody was booing that moment, that's just – it's silly to me why you would ever boo unity. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, the only thing I'll really say on that is, like, I mean, overall, I mean, I had no issue with it. But at the same time, I know that there's, like I say a lot, and when it came to the Tyreek Hill situation or a lot of other things that have happened in life for people, there's so many different vantage points and perspectives in the world that one person may see an event a certain way and another person sees the event a different way and a different way and a different way to where you have all these shades of gray and not everything is just this person's exactly like this and this person exactly like that. It's just there's balance to find in every situation and every story.
All right. Well, hey, we will be back next week with a preview of the first road game of the season with the Chargers. Until then, Nick, take care, kids.
All right. Time's up.